First book of Samuel in chapter 30. And I've got some words from verse 6 to bring you to, so that you might remember this morning an incident which occurred in David's life. It's 1 Samuel 30 and verse 6, right at the very end. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Can I just set the scene for you this morning as to where this comes in the point in David's life? David was fighting the Amalekites in this particular time. They were a great enemy of his. He had come up against them, and God was with him in his battles. And yet, as we read this chapter, we find that these Amalekites have come to the very village where he was born, the very town, a place called Ziklag, and they had razed it to the ground with fire. They had taken the wives and the daughters and the people captive and had carried them away. And there was so much to discourage David and his men at this time. After all, this was the enemy they were pursuing, and yet somehow they had escaped and had come back to destroy his very village. We read this in verse 1, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captive. And David was marching towards this time, this city, this town, this village, not sure how big it was, and he sees in his very sight what damage had been done. They'd pulled down the strongholds, they'd burned it with fire, and they prevented David ever going back to that same place again. Now, the men that had gone with David, of course, had all their families there, and their women had been taken captive and carried away. What a discouragement there was in David's life at this time. Oh, he had many discouragements. He had many things that would pull him down and discourage him from following his God, even. And David saw this destruction, and he realized that the evidence was before him, that the discouragement was so great. In verse 4 of Samuel 30, we read this. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. Such was their distress, such was their grief, that they cried, literally cried, until their tears failed them. And of course, in verse 6, we find that David was greatly distressed. Why? Not only because of the destruction that was done, but look at this. For the people with whom he was with, who were fighting with him, spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved. So here we have the leader. Here we have God's own soldier. And here we have a people that have turned against him. Can't get much more discouragement than that, can you? When the enemy has come in like a flood, when those that are with you would do everything against you. You know, that reminded me of the story of the Israelites, doesn't you? As they came out of Egypt, and as they went towards to the River Jordan, and they went towards the Promised Land, and the first problems that they had, what did they say? Has Moses brought us out of Egypt that we might die in the wilderness? And they railed against Moses, and they railed against God. And here we see David in this similar situation. They blamed David for this great loss. Had David brought them this far? Had he brought them this far in this battle against the Amalekites, that they might die, that they might be destroyed? And their great leader, who had borne them up to God in prayer, who had led them thus far, was under total discouragement. Now I wonder if it's our case this morning. We all have our little discouragements. We have our small problems. We have our bigger problems. But we have great discouragements. And I believe that, you know, the Church of God at the moment has a great discouragement. There's a great discouragement abroad, isn't there? In our minds, as a church, as a people. When we have so much against us, I won't go through it because it would take too long and it would discourage us even more. But there are discouragements. There are great discouragements. I've been here before, you know, and there haven't been half as many people as this. So we're encouraged this morning, I'm sure, here in this church. But they've had discouragements here as well, dear friends. Well, here we see David with a great discouragement upon him. But we read these words of our text, and we mustn't forget these. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. That's in verse 6. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. I want you to notice, first of all, his patience towards his people. I want you to notice his patience towards his men and his patience towards his God, forbearing them all up. Verse 8 he says, and David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? You see, he's bearing up his people before the Lord. David encouraged himself. How could he do that? Well, he did it by faith, dear friends, by faith. And it's the only way we're going to encourage ourselves as a church, is by faith in God, by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He encouraged himself in the power of God, in the power of God. God was this infinite resource, and whom he could call, who came to David's aid. David encouraged himself in the power of God. That's the first point. He encouraged himself in the power of God. He'd witnessed it before. He knew something of the power of God. We've read it in the Psalms. You can read it in the chapters before this and the chapters after this, that God's power had kept him in the evil days in which he was in. And it would never end. This was God's promise to him. From the time that javelin came and stuck in the wall beside him, which King Saul threw at him, to that fight against Goliath, when Goliath stood in front of him, and David stood as a little man in front of such great an enemy, David knew that he would be encouraged in the power of God. Can I just bring you to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22 and verse 29. I want to just demonstrate here the power of God. Matthew 22 and verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, and here it is, friends, look, nor the power of God. Nor the power of God. You know, we do err, don't we? When we look away from the power of God. We look away to the discouragements that we have before us. Oh, that we might be like David and encourage ourselves in the Lord. He has the power. And I take you to St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 43. And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. The mighty power of God. A man brought his son to the Lord Jesus Christ. He had an evil spirit in him. They could do nothing with him. They could not heal him. But Jesus rebukes that spirit to come out. And they were all amazed. Here was a lad who was now cleansed, clean, of the right mind. And they were all amazed at the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and of God. And then we can go to Luke 22. Just going on a little more, we read verse 69. Verse 69, Christ in the judgment hall. Here is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says this, hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God. Luke 22, verse 69. Hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God. Christ in the judgment hall. There he is before them. They strike his face. They jeer, they mock. They deride him, they blindfold him. They say, who struck you? Who was it? And they play their terrible games. Art thou the Christ? And he says to them quite calmly, Hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God. My dear friends, this was the power that David knew. This was the power. That power by which God raised his Son. He raised him by his power, that sat him on his throne by that same power at his right hand. And of course then when we come to the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, we see that lovely well-known verse, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Why, Paul, are you not ashamed? For it is the power of God, you see. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Oh, my dear friends, if you know Christ this morning as your Saviour, it's not of anything that you've done. Oh, my dear friend, I was a naughty person. I was a naughty boy. It is true I was brought up in a Christian family. But, my dear friends, it was nothing that I ever did that brought me to know Christ. It was by the power of God, and the power of God by salvation. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of that. I'm not ashamed of that. He preached in public after all, hadn't he? Because he was not ashamed, he knew it was the power of God unto salvation, that sinners were saved, effectually saved by God through Jesus Christ. David was encouraged by the power of God. He encouraged himself by this power. But there's something else he encouraged himself by. It was the providence of God. The providence of God. 1 Samuel 30 verse 8, I referred to it earlier. He brings this discouragement before God. Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? Here's his encouragement. Here is the providence of God. Look. And he answered, that is, God answered, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. What an encouragement that was to him. What a providence of God. That those who had ransacked his town, his village, those who had burnt it and levelled it to the ground and taken away the women captive, were to be recovered. Not some of them, not one or two, but all, without fail. Oh, what a providence God has for his people. What a providence. How encouraged David must have been then. Oh, can we overtake them? Yes, thou shalt overtake, and without fail. Oh, the providence of God. God providing not only the remedy, but the encouragement of how and when it shall be done. Reminds me a bit again of Moses and his journey with the Israelites. How discouraged he had been, but how encouraging God had been to him, to show him at least the promised land. But that one who took Isaac up to the top of the hill, and Isaac says to his father, "Father, here's the wood, here's the fire, but where is the sacrifice?" Oh, the providence of God providing a sacrifice there. Oh, the providence. And life with all its twists and turns, you know, dear friends, there are many. There are many. He provides for his people just at the right time, just sufficiently for them. There's always a way of escape. It's down to the providence of God. Well, you know, there is a remedy for sin this morning. There's a remedy. Do you know God provided his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? You know it so well. God provided him. What a providence that was, dear friends. Have you considered that? We must remember, we spoke to the children, you see, we must remember these things. Amongst these discouragements that we get, here's an encouragement, a provision by God of the Lord Jesus Christ to save poor helpless sinners. And David relied upon his former experiences here with this same God. God had provided. Oh, come back with me in time with David. He's looking after some sheep on the hilltop, and a lion comes to his flock. And what does God do? He provides him with the strength to fight that lion and to slay it. Oh, there are many lions along life's way, dear friends. There are many lions. I know some. I know some. And so do you. But there's a provision, you see. God providing. Oh, like we don't have this in our hymn book, but you have sung it. All the way my Saviour leads me. What do I want beside him? Shall I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? He had the encouragement of the providence of God, knowing God would appear for him on this occasion yet again. He remembered what God had done in past days, and he believed that God would do it again. My dear friends, if we want any encouragement this morning, look back at what God has done in the centuries gone past for the church, and remember this: God did that for his people, and our encouragement is this, that he'll do it again. He'll do it again. He will provide. Turn you to the book of Deuteronomy, and we see here the providence of God. Deuteronomy 31 and verse 6, very well known text, an encouragement for his people. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. Now here's the provision, here's the providence of God. For the Lord thy God, he is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. That's the providence of God, isn't it? He's going to go with his people. He won't fail them. He'll provide for them. I'm going to take you on again a little further to the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua in chapter 1 and verse 9. Again, another well-known word. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and have a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. And here's the providence of God again. The Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. It's not an option, being not afraid. It's a command. I have commanded thee. Be not afraid. How encouraged then David was when he saw this in his reflection on his experience with God. He experienced it so much that in Psalm 27 and verse 14, we get this. This is what David says. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Oh, that's a providence of God, isn't it? To have a strong heart. For God to come and strengthen our weak hearts. My dear friends, I'm glad you don't know my heart this morning. Otherwise you wouldn't be sitting there listening to me. He shall strengthen my heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. David encouraged himself in the presence of the providence of God. No one else did. I want you to notice this about David. No one else encouraged David. They all discouraged him. No one else. They contemplated taking his life. He had the only one to whom he could go. Now, we often encourage one another, and that's good, to encourage one another in the Lord. And we need that. We need to do that in our church situations today. But ultimately, there's only one to whom we can go. Perhaps there are things we can't even discuss with our closest friend or our closest church member. But there is one to whom we can go. We can go to that same one as David went to. David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. I want you to notice that it was his Lord. His Lord. That one whom came was over David. That one to whom David would go. Who recognized not only the power and the providence of, but also recognized the sovereignty of. He was one to whom he could go. Do you know that very well known verse sprung to mind when I was looking at this? What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege. That's the providence of God, isn't it? To carry everything to God. And we're often weak and heavy laden, aren't we? Cumbered with a load of care. David was. He encouraged himself in the Lord. Yes, we can encourage one another. But David turned to the one who had always been there for him. We see in verse 6, of course, right at the very beginning of that verse, that David was greatly distressed. Having brought his people thus far, they now turned against him. So he couldn't go to them for encouragement. He couldn't turn to them for help, but he went to his God, the same God of Abraham as he was, and of Jacob, and of Isaac, and of all the fathers that were before. And he reflects this in Psalm 42 and in verse 5. He asks a question, and perhaps we might ask ourselves this question this morning. I don't know, perhaps it's not necessary. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan. He hoped in God. He had no hope anywhere else. This man, David, this great adversary of those enemies, he hoped in God. He asks himself, why am I cast down? Hope thou in God. And when we read those verses in our Psalms this morning, Psalm 56 and verse 3, he says this: what time, I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. What words. Here is a man who really did what he said. Not only did he encourage himself, but he really believed that that one who would stand in for him was a real God. What time, I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. You know, David often feared his foe. We only need to read the Psalms and we can see how the discouragements that came from the foe. He feared for his life. We see him. He goes to a cave and he cuts off the skirt of Saul, a piece of his skirt, and he goes away. And he goes in fear. We get this with Elijah, don't we? As he slays those prophets of Baal, and then Jezebel is after him, and he goes to the mountaintop. What are thou doing here, Elijah? What are thou doing here? What dost thou do here? And then we get that fire, that wind, and that still small voice. Oh, there's plenty of people in Scripture we can go and we can say, this one and that one were discouraged. But David said, at what time he was afraid, he would trust in God. What encouragement for David. Oh, the confidence in this. Have you noticed in his words? David encouraged himself. What confidence he had. You know, that's the best antidote for fear. The confidence in God. And there's the very reason for his trust, that he was a friend of God. He would not fear what flesh would do unto him. He would trust and not be afraid. And what, in essence, is this, is that he would depend upon God's word. Oh, that I might depend more upon God's word, dear friend. That I might come to this book, and at what time, I'm afraid, I could read, but not just read, but depend upon what God had for me. And what could frail man do against David if God was on his side? If God was for him, who could be against him? They could do nothing unless the Lord allowed it. Oh, we think of Job, don't we, when we think of God's hand upon a person. You can do anything, he says to the evil one, to Satan, the devil, but you cannot touch his life. You cannot touch his life. But I want you to notice in this text that I've given you the personal testimony of David. Verse 6 of Samuel 30. But David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. His God. This is a personal testimony here that we have before us this morning. He doesn't say he'll put his trust in his people's God or the enemy's God. Not that they had a God that David had. But he says here that he put his trust, encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He was dear to the heart of David, was God. Oh yes, David was a sinner like you and I. David did those things wrong, like you and I do. But he'd come to that position where he realized that this was his God. It was his God. This was a personal God for him. Exodus chapter 32 and verse 11. And we read these words of Moses, concerning Moses. This was Moses who had the same God as David had. Same God. And these are the words that we read. 32 and 11. And Moses besought the Lord, his God. See that? His God. And there are many in Scripture who have sought the Lord, their God. Solomon of old had wives that turned, we're told, his heart after other gods. His heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, but as was the heart of David his father, time and time again Solomon sought his God, his personal God. David had a personal testimony that through all this terrible time that he was going through, he would have this personal friend, the Lord his God. In Revelation 21 verse 7, I just read this to you. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God. His God, you see. It's a personal testimony, isn't it? And he shall be my son. It's personal. That's something that we can take with us. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Encouraged himself in the power of God. He encouraged himself in the providence of God. And he encouraged himself in the promises of God. The promises of God. That God would never leave him and never forsake him. That he would always be his friend. And if you read that story, we'll see that David went on. And as God had said, they recaptured all the women from their town, their village, that area. And God was with David. And God proved to those around him that he was a real God, a personal God, whom David knew for so long. I wonder this morning, I ask, are you discouraged? If you're discouraged as a church, then encourage yourself in the Lord your God, and he will be with you. And he will win every victory for you and bring you again to a time of encouragement so that you can praise his name.